once upon a time, there was a man who died and went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, he saw there's a great crowd of people and something was going on. He said, St. Peter, what's going on? And St. Peter said, well, it's show and tell time in heaven. The guy said, oh. He said, yeah, people can show and tell something special that they did on earth. The guy said, oh, that's wonderful. I came at a great time. He said, hey, can I talk about the time when there was a flood in my city and I helped save 3 people? And St. Peter said, well, you could, but don't forget, Noah is in the crowd too. Don't forget Noah. The parable in our gospel reading today is somewhat like show and tell. The Pharisee, he comes to the temple to pray. This guy is impressive. This guy, he knows how to pray. He knew how to get attention. He stands there, erect, his head facing heaven, his arms out, praying to God, correct posture, praising God. Notice the Pharisee didn't ask God for anything. He needs nothing. He presumes that he is better than any guy praying next to him. He's the most spiritual person in the room. And his prayer is thanking God for how wonderful he is. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. You know that song? Well, this is the Pharisee. And he was reminded God. He said, listen, God, look at me. Look at all my accomplishments. He fasts. I mean, how many here fast? I need to fast. He doesn't fast once a week. He fasts twice a week. He said, God, look at me. I give to you. He doesn't give 1% of his total income. He doesn't give 5% of his total income. He gives 10% right off the top to God. This guy is a spiritual superstar. And he thanks God that he's not like thieves and rogues and adulterers and Methodists. I'm going to say that. And even that tax collector over there. He's very proud of himself. This guy doesn't need any help with his self-esteem. He's sure that he's going to get an A in his outstanding performance as a Pharisee, as a man of God, and of his prayer, which he became his show and tell time. But the tax collector, the traitor to Israel, he sold out to Rome. The tax who steals things, the tax guard, he gets taxes for Rome, but he has to charge above that for his own income, and he's a pretty rich guy. This tax collector, he collects for himself, and he is rich, and he is guilty. So he comes with his head bowed, his hands out, for good reason. He asks for mercy. He doesn't even promise that he's going to change his ways or shape up. He doesn't promise any of that stuff. He just comes for mercy. Like all of Jesus' parables, the result is always surprising. You think you know Jesus Christ? Just when you think you know him, he's going to twist things and surprise you. And guess what? The Pharisee flunks. And the tax collector gets an A. He's justified. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, what's going on here? Is that fair? I mean, even though the Pharisee is pompous and arrogant, you know what? He's a good religious guy. He goes to synagogue. He tithes. He fasts. He gives to the poor. He's a good guy. And the tax collector, he's a traitor. He's a thief. He sold out to Rome. He cheats his neighbors. He breaks what's commandment? The 7th, remember? Thou shalt not steal. He does that all the time. And Jesus ends this parable with his normal paradox. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. So, what are we supposed to learn from this parable? What? You're supposed to be humble, right? Not so fast, not so fast. I mean, you know, this could be a problem too. You go, look how humble I am. Oh, how wonderful I am. Oh, no, I'm humble. I'm humbler than you are. No, I'm humbler than you are. No, I am more humble. Look at all the things. Get it? So you want to get an A in humility. And that doesn't work either. This is not what Jesus is talking about. Because we think we earned an A, but we'll flunk if we have that attitude. Look at me. Everything depends upon me for things that happen in this church, in this synagogue. Look. But Jesus says the tax collector is blessed. Well, I mean, I trust Jesus. He's the Christ. If he says this crook, this traitor is blessed, well, okay, it goes against my sensibilities. But let's pay attention to Jesus. So why is this guy blessed? Why is that guy blessed? Well, you see, any way we look at this guy, he's a lowlife. You would never want to have your daughter date him. He steals from people. He takes their hard-earned income. He takes more than he deserves. And he's a traitor, and he works for Rome, who has us conquered. Rome, who has us under their foot. Rome, who beats us and crucifies us and whips us and puts us in prison. Rome. And week after week, this tax collector comes to prayer, and he has to hear this Pharisee show and tell time how wonderful he is with his hands up. But the tax collector comes with empty hands. He has nothing to offer God. And that's the point. That's the point. That's what Jesus sees in this bad guy, this traitor, this tax collector. He comes before God again and again and again with empty hands. He has nothing to offer, nothing to bring, nothing to show and tell. And he knows it. He knows it. You see, my brothers and sisters in Christ, this parable is really a parable about grace. Amazing grace. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. Grace. God's R. Riches. A. At C. Christ's E. Expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of God, you see, the Pharisee and the tax collector are really the same. They're the same. Two men in need of God. The only difference is that one man knows it and one man doesn't. That's the difference. The tax collector who comes before God with his hands empty understands the truth of the gospel, that we are saved by grace alone, apart from the works of the law. There is nothing, nothing we can do to earn God's grace. There's nothing we can do to get an A before God, because it's free. What Christ did on the cross for us, his salvation for us, is because he loves us unconditionally. There's nothing to earn it. The reformers, Martin Luther, Philip Melanchthon, John Calvin, they knew the truth of this parable well. The reason the Reformation took place, what we're going to celebrate next Sunday, was because the church leaders in the 16th century told people, if you don't pay, we're not going to pray. If you don't do good works, you're going to hell. If you don't give to St. Peter's in Rome, you're going to be in purgatory. But Martin Luther and the other reformers discovered an amazing thing. God doesn't operate judging. God doesn't operate condemning. God doesn't operate by putting shoulds and shoulds on you and make you ashamed. God operates by amazing grace. He loves you. The reformers saw this truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we all come to show and tell time before God with empty hands. And the grace of God is given only to those who know they have nothing to bring. You see, you can't fill up on grace if you're too full of yourself. The hymn that I picked, that we're about to sing, Amazing Grace, was written by a man named John Newton. John Newton. And John Newton got it. He got this stuff. He started out on do you know the story of John Newton? He was a trader, and he would go, he was a captain of a ship, and the vessel would take goods to Africa, and after it was unloaded, he would bring back black people in chains to be slaves. And he brought the slaves, and he crammed them into his boat. I mean, he wanted to get as much money for these slaves as he could. He crammed them in. There's hardly any room. They were like this. And he brought them to America. And on the way over, if there wasn't enough food to go around, he'd get the slaves that were excess, chain them together, put a big rock, throw them over the side, let them drown. He wanted to be cost effective. And when he got to this country, the survivors lived as miserable lives as slaves, and wives were separated from husbands and children from their mothers. And on one such voyage, this guy, this captain, there was a terrible storm. And the waves were coming over, and the boat was going back and forth, and he yelled out, "If nothing can be done, then Lord, have mercy on us." This outburst surprised him. He thought he considered himself an atheist. But God surprised him. And something happened to this slave trader, this murderer. His heart was changed by the Holy Spirit. And God called him to be a pastor to a church in Olney, England. And one night, it came to him again. He thought about his plea to God when that stormy night, when the boat we thought was going to sink and they were all going to die. He thought about, "Lord, have mercy." And in thankfulness to God, he started writing. He wrote a hymn that we're going to sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's a hymn that speaks to everybody. I mean, it was a hymn that was played on a bagpipe when I graduated Gettysburg Seminary. And if you watched Queen Elizabeth, her funeral, the bagpiper played Amazing Grace. And many times you hear it, you have tears in your eyes. It's so beautiful. Amazing Grace transcends all barriers and languages, race, political persuasions, genders. It speaks to all people. It's understood by everyone, for it speaks to the depths of our human condition. When those moments when we're totally honest with ourselves and God, it speaks to our heart. It speaks to our soul. And on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost, hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day of our lives, we are tempted to show and tell. Hey, God, look at me. Hey, notice me. Look how wonderful I am. Look at all I do for the. Look, I'm a pastor. How wonderful. I should be going to heaven, right? Inside each of us is a little child that wants to be noticed. Look, pay attention to me. Look at me. And we want to show off a little bit. Yet we stand in reality before God as a saved sinner with hands open, empty. That is what grace is all about. It's the only thing that truly satisfies. It's the only thing that will truly fill us with empty hands and empty hearts and empty lives. Grace fills us, makes us born again, gives us energy, helps us glow, helps us love God's creation. But you'll see God working all the time and in all people. It's the best gift ever. Through many a danger, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.